Hey there and welcome to Soul Church.
Our prayer is that this message encourages you wherever you may be in life.
You know, we've been hearing so many stories about what God is doing in people's lives, and we'd love to hear yours. So take a second and send your story to stories@soulchurch.com.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope that you enjoy the message. God bless. Well, we want to say a special welcome to our online community. Great to have you here. And if you are part of the Soul Church family, e-community, thank you for coming back and joining us. And if you are here for the first time today, maybe you saw the billboard, maybe you saw someone's Facebook advert, whatever it was, great to have you with us. We're just a local church here in Norwich, and we love people and we love God. And with those two things, we're trying to make the world a better place. So thanks for being here. Hope you enjoy the next few moments, minutes we have together. I want to ask you as well, who have you invited to church? Please don't stop inviting people to church in this season just because we're online. In fact, I think it's an even better opportunity to bring people to church, than we've ever had before, because all it is just a click of a button. So make sure you send out some invites, invite people to your Facebook page, share the post, and let's spread the news of church. You know, every week we're reaching somewhere between 3,000 to 5,000 people with the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. I think that's just phenomenal. And they're conservative estimates. So come on, let's keep spreading the news. Let's get more people in church every week, and let's see the message move further faster. Fantastic. All right, let me pray, and then we're going to jump in to the word today. Father God, we thank you for our church, our community. We really do miss one another. But right now, we have this lifeline online community. And we don't take that for granted. And we need one another. And Father, I pray that even today, as we all come together in our various living rooms and kitchens and communities all over the world, Father God, that we would just sense your touch on this message. Father, I pray as I unpack this word on healthy homes, Lord, that it would help some people, Lord. I pray that you'd strengthen marriages, strengthen relationships between children, young people and their parents, and friendships and all the various relationships that we're going to tackle today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, you say it out loud. Amen. So I encourage you to lean in this moment. I pray that church won't just be an ambience, a background noise in your living room. I know it's difficult with the kids and stuff, but I really want you to take time just for these few minutes just to lean in, because I think God's going to say some good stuff through my words today. Okay, I wonder what your idea. We're in this series called Healthy Homes. It's just a smaller series, probably going to run it for 3 to 4 weeks, and we are just really just trying to help and attempt to help people in this season of kind of like we're all living on top of each other. Last week I spoke on collisions and how there's been collisions in homes, but we really believe that we can still have a healthy home in this season. So I'm talking on healthy homes, but I wonder what you think a healthy home should look like. Now, Chantel will tell you that our home is far from perfect. Maybe you think because we're the pastors, we are the model family. Come and live with us right now, and you will see we are far from perfect. And sometimes we don't all get along with each other. Chantel leaves her dirty dishes out, her laundry across the bedroom. She leaves the toilet seat down, all these things. And I just make a decision to ignore them. But they do happen. So we do have collisions, and we do have some challenges. But one thing I've learned in this season is there is no such thing as a perfect home. And if so no one needs to feel out of place today. Because if your family's not perfect, you are in really, really good company. And that, you know, there's been many times, as I've said before, we've had a disagreement on the way to church, and then we've walked in hand, smiling like you all think the world is just fine. But we're all a church online. You know, we're full of children, young people, families, and all we're trying to do is do our best. We're all trying to make it. We're all trying to get through this time. So, hey, we're in this together. So I just want to share some thoughts around that today. And the first is this. The good news is that we are all recipients of God's grace. And, you know, God's grace is far bigger than any mistake you've made this week, any choice you've made this week. And I pray that there is some wisdom in the message and the few words I'm going to share with us this morning. Now, there are three divine ordained agencies in the world. Number one, and these aren't in any order, but number one is the government. Number two is the church. Number three is the family. And the enemy, the devil, is out to destroy all three of those different agencies. But his primary target is the family. Because if the family goes, there goes the church. And if the church goes, so goes the government. And the enemy wants to tear down the family because it has a knock-on effect in the church. And when the church is weak, government is weak. And the enemy wants to tear families, marriages, the family unit. He wants to break them down. You know, I'm told the divorce rates in the UK have never been higher. They're sitting around about 53% right now. Domestic violent rates are up to 35% over the last 2 months. And we face many challenges from this virus of COVID, much more than maybe even the virus itself. And we have to fight for unity in our families. We have to fight for our families. And we have to fight right now more than ever before. Maybe in the history of the world, we have to fight for our marriages. We have to fight for one another like never, never before. And we will never have a perfect family, but I believe we are committed, and I want us today to be committed to be building healthy families. Now, we have one key verse today. We're going to share some other verses. We've got one key verse. It's going to come up on your screen. It's from the book of Proverbs, chapter 24, verse 3. It says this: by wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. Through knowledge its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. God's pattern for healthy homes begins with wisdom. It says, first two words, by wisdom. Now, this series is to help us make wise choices in this season. The foundation to a healthy home begins with wisdom. And then it says this, and then through understanding, it is established. Healthy homes are established when we take time to understand one another. It says through understanding. You know, last week we kind of coined this new phrase in this series: we're all different and we're all difficult. Heard a few people saying it online. Why don't you look at your spouse and say this: I am different and I am difficult. Don't you dare say you're different and you're difficult. It's I am different and I am difficult. So the Bible's right here. It says through understanding it's established. When we understand that we're all different and we're all difficult, let me tell you, it gives us the ability to make better choices. And every behavior that we see in ourselves or we see in someone else, every behavior is a learned behavior. And so today, we're not here to talk about the fruit, but actually the root in our lives. And when we understand each other, it's amazing what happens. Look what the Bible says. It says, through knowledge, its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. You know, each one of our homes, as we understand and as we make wise choices, what happens? Our homes are filled with treasure. Now, I want us to go through some of the rooms of our home today because each room represents treasure. Now, I'm going to sort of go through a style of a home, but I know many of you might just live in a bedroom of an apartment. Maybe you live in a studio flat. Maybe you live in a small house. So everything I'm saying today is very metaphoric. But even if you're in a small apartment or a studio, each area of your room, each area of the place that you live has a treasure. So I want you to apply this to the area that you live. So I want to title the message this morning, Rooms of a Healthy Home. Rooms of a Healthy Home. And we're going to travel through over the next 2 weeks, next two Sundays, we're going to travel through seven areas of our homes. And each one of these areas, there are the values of our church are hidden in these rooms as well. And our challenge today is to discover the treasure in these homes and then to apply them to our home. So we're going to go through three areas. And number one is this, the kitchen. The kitchen. The kitchen is a place of transformation. Where better to start in the home than the kitchen? Why is it that you could have 100 plus rooms in your house and assume when people come over, where do you all end up? You end up in the kitchen. It doesn't matter if it's a party, a group, a discussion. Somehow, everyone always starts in the kitchen. The kids come home from school. Where's the first place they go? They go to the kitchen. Why? Because they know there's treats, there's snacks, there's cereal in the kitchen. What's the first question the kids ask when you pick them up from school? What's for tea? Everything begins in the kitchen. Dad comes home straight from work. What does he say? What's for dinner? Arguably the most important area, room of our home. But why? I asked God this way. I said, why is the kitchen the most important room? And here's what he said. He said, because it is a place of transformation. The cook, more often than not, that's Chantel in our home, although I do an incredible jam on toast. So if you ever come round, I can do a great toast. But you think about a chef. A chef takes something that is raw and makes something beautiful. You know, right now, I felt the Spirit of God showing me that we're all in God's kitchen. We're being pressed. We're being squeezed. But actually, there is transformation taking place. God actually wants to use this season to do some transformation in our hearts and in our minds and our families. I love that scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. It says, we all, that's every one of us, who have unveiled faces, contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Being transformed. You know, God's heart towards us is transformation. You know, God wants to see our lives transformed. Right at the start of this crisis, I spoke, in fact, my very last message in the church building. I prayed this dangerous prayer over our church. And I said these words, God, don't just do something for me in this crisis, do something in me. And I think God is doing more in us right now in this season than probably we've ever experienced in a long time. I think crisis reveals character. I've learned more about me in the last 6 weeks than I have in the last 6 years. And I think in a healthy home, we continually are committed to transformation. The moment we go, we've arrived, the moment we go, that's just the way I am. You're just going to have to face it. This is who you married. No, I think that's a very selfish attitude towards life. I think that actually God wants to take us into the kitchen. It's a place of transformation, and God wants to work on our hearts. You know, the most dangerous, but the most life-changing operation is on the heart. Why? Because heart surgery changes lives. You know what? Maybe God wants to operate in this season on our hearts. He wants to get deep and do some things in our life that maybe he couldn't have done if we weren't going through this crisis. I think what God's doing in me right now is that in this season, in this God's kitchen, is I realize that actually my priorities have been out, all out of line. I was running too fast. Like many of us, we were running too fast. You don't realize how fast you're running until you slow down. You know, I was cramming anything up to 10, 12, sometimes even more than 12 meetings into one day. And I overcommitted myself and trying always to respond to everyone's messages, trying to be everyone's savior. And you know what happens is you just kill yourself. And so I've made a decision that I need to slow down. I wonder what God's doing in you. For me, the transformation is God is reordering my priorities. You know, sometimes heart surgery, you know, if you get a bunion taken off your foot, you might be in and out of surgery in half an hour, but heart surgery sometimes takes up to 24 hours. You know, this is a process. As much as I want to get back in the church building, I want to get back to whatever the new normal is going to look like, here's the deal. God is working on us. He is transforming us into his likeness, and we cannot rush this process as God does more in our hearts. I wonder what transformation God is doing in you in this season. When we come back and when life begins this new normal, my stride is going to be different. You know, I was running too fast and the stride was far too quick. You know what happens when you run too quick? Even if there's a tiny bump on the road, if you hit it, you're going to fall. But when you're taking your time, if you hit a bump, guess what? You can handle it.
and my new stride, and this is what the transformation is in me, and maybe God's doing something similar in you. My new stride is, instead of sprinting, I'm going to walk. It's interesting in Psalm 23, when David's speaking about when he goes for a valley, he says, even though I walk for a valley. You know, I think our new stride is we need to walk more. Instead of sprint, we need to walk, find our stride. I don't want to go back to my old sprint. I don't want to go back to everyone else being a priority outside of my own family. Why? Because God is doing a transformation in me. And if he can do it in me, let me tell you, it's going to affect my family as a dad. So I want to put it back onto everyone who's watching. What is God doing in you? What is the transformation that God has begun? Maybe it's something to do with a habit that God wants to break in your life. You know, maybe a destructive habit. Maybe it's something else that God's trying to cut away. Maybe it's he's giving you a fresh love for the Bible, for prayer. I wonder what it is, but there is a deep transformation, because the kitchen in a healthy home is about transformation. Number two, I hope this is helping today. The dining room. The dining room. The dining room might be a part of your kitchen. We have a dining room table in our kitchen, but for me, if there is a table, that table represents something. What does the dining room represent? The dining room represents a place of honesty. This is where honest discussions take place. This is where your children tell you what they really think of church. This is where your children tell you what they really think of your cooking. We have this thing in our home called roast potato war. Who can make the roast potatoes best? And our kids will tell you what they really think of the roast potatoes. They won't tell you in the kitchen, but the moment we sit down and the first potato goes in, straight away, they'll tell you. We have a couple in our church, and they will remain nameless, but he rates his wife's cooking A or A star every meal. Okay, so it's an honest area. And the dining room is such an amazing place as we all gather to eat and to talk and to drink and unpack our days. You know, in the olden days, they used to say, you know, don't talk during meal times. But thank goodness that's changed, because now we're all honest and we let people know what's happened or what hasn't happened in the day. And I believe that the children should be very much seen and heard at the dinner table. I think honesty is very much a part of an integral home. I'm not talking about being rude. I think rude is where it gets personal. But I think honesty about how are you really doing. You know, in our home, Chantel came up with this moment we share at every single dinner time. It's called highs and lows. And we all go around the table and we share our high from the day, but also our low. And so the highest moment of the day, the thing that went really well or we really enjoyed, but also a low point. And sometimes there isn't any low point. Sometimes it's like we just had a good day and we don't have to bring up something that's not there. But this is an opportunity for our children to be open and honest. And we found it really helpful and encourage you. You can take that on board, because our kids actually, we want them to be honest. You know, a few months ago, Miracle was at the table and she said, you know, she was getting bullied by someone at school, but it because we'd created a healthy space for her at the dining room table, we were able to deal with that and help her how to respond. And these little games, they're not just little games, but they're actually really healthy ways to help our children open up and get to some of the roots in their life. And what happens is honesty. When we're honesty always creates trust in families. Whenever you have an honest conversation, it creates trust because we trust one another. And you know, maybe you're a young person, maybe you're a teenager. Can I encourage you, as hard as it is, and I can't really remember now what it was like to be a teenager. All I remember is it was really difficult. Keep talking to your parents. Keep opening them up. Don't just close in and go, oh, they don't know how I feel. You know, they have been there. Keep being honest about how you're feeling. If you're struggling, talk to someone. And parents, create space in the home around the dining table for your children and your young people to be honest. You know, maybe they'll get it wrong. Maybe they'll say a bad word. Maybe they'll have made a mistake. But I'd much rather have an environment and a home where it can be honest and open and vulnerable rather than we just pretend and we push all the bad stuff under the carpet. And then one day it comes out, maybe in an explosion or in rage. I want to encourage us. Parents, allow your children to have that honest moment. Psalm 51 verse 10, I'm going to read in just a moment, but the context of it is David has just messed up. He's made some pretty big relational mistakes. He goes to God, his father. He says, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. What was he doing? He was restoring trust through honesty with God. I think one thing which a home can't survive without, let me tell you, a home can keep surviving without school. We've proven that. A home can keep surviving even without some of the things that have been stripped away from us, but a home cannot survive without trust. Trust is the foundation to everything we do as a family, everything we do in our relationships. In fact, trust is the currency of family. And if you're committed to your family and relationships and you're committed to a healthy home, I want to encourage you to keep honesty and trust in the center of everything you do. You know, we never understand the value of trust until we lose it. I know for some of you, you've experienced separation or divorce. You never understand the power of trust until it's gone. You know, all of us, we've probably been let down in this area. We trusted family, children, parents, and they let us down. But it's never too late to rebuild trust. We heard a great message from Pastor Dave Niblock on Wednesday evening. And if you didn't catch it, please catch up on YouTube. It's a fantastic message. But it was all about restoration, how God is a restorer. And there is nothing too far gone. God can restore what's been lost financially. God can restore your health. God can restore your marriage. God is a restorer. But restoration begins with honesty. Honesty with yourself, honesty with those around us. I want to encourage you to be dedicated to the truth, even when it hurts. You know, we all get it wrong. We mess up. As a dad, as a husband, a son, trust me, I've made my fair share of mistakes. But honesty keeps trust alive. Relationships can always be rebuilt if we're prepared to be honest. Young people, teenagers, be honest. If you're struggling, maybe you're struggling with something at college, school, or maybe you're struggling with anxious thoughts. Don't just keep them in your bedroom. Don't just keep them on your phone. Talk to someone. Let someone know that you trust. You know, in the Norman home, and like I say, it is not a perfect home. It's healthy, but it's not perfect. You know, one of the things we're committed to is we don't keep secrets, apart from Christmas, okay? We do keep secrets at Christmas. The kids say, have you got me anything for Christmas? No. But secretly, I have. So outside of Christmas, which might sound a little bit, you know, like I'm sort of backtracking a little bit, but we don't keep secrets. We don't have old girlfriends and old boyfriends' numbers on our phone. We don't keep track of all that stuff because we've moved on and we've moved forward. We don't talk to strangers online. We can look at each other's phones at any point. Why? Because we've created trust in the home. I want to encourage you to keep trust in the center of your home. The dining room, meal times are a place of honesty, a place where trust is built. We're going to head into our final room here this morning, the living room. I love the living room. The place of life. This is where we get to let go of the to-do list, let loose, connect, engage, and play. Romans chapter 15, 13 say, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, God wants to fill your home with joy. This is a room. This is a room I'm learning, and this is for me a room I struggle with. I'm learning to engage with it more. This has been one of my lessons through this crisis and I'm going to talk next week about the garden, and I'm going to talk about the bedroom. Get ready for that. Intimacy. Whew. That'll get you all back next week. But this is a room, the living room is a room that I haven't historically, over the last 3 or 4 years, I haven't done well with it. Because I feel a sense of guilt. When I'm in the living room and I'm enjoying myself, I feel like I should be helping someone or writing something or preparing something for somewhere else. So it's very difficult. And maybe some other leaders in there, and you can engage with what I'm saying here. You can understand that The living room isn't a place that I've done well. I'm good at with honesty at the dining room, and I'm definitely got the kitchen thing sorted out. God is trying to transform things. I'm open to that. But the living room, Dad, this is where we lead with life. We bring the fun and the joy and the mischief to the home. Chantal is so good here. She's so good. She's so good. She leaves the laptop in the study and she comes and she brings the family together. This is her strength. But for me, I'm learning the living room. This is what I've discovered. When we don't know what room we're in, we don't know how to behave. And so it's important in healthy homes, we don't bring our work into the living room. Laptops aren't for the bedroom. Laptops aren't for the living room or other life-giving areas of the home. And as a parent, here's what we get to do. We get to define the spaces of our home. And we can then invite people into those spaces. So my goal, and over the last few weeks, we're getting better at this, is when I walk into the living room, into the lounge, whatever you want to call it, that's where we bring the life. We bring the fun. We bring the joy. You know, often our living room, especially in probably like yours, it looks a tip. The kids have made dens, pillows, it's blankets, everything is everywhere. It's carnage. But that's actually okay because it's a living room. It's not a museum. It's a living room. We've actually got to get comfortable that things are going to be a bit crazy in this season. Living rooms are life-giving rooms. I want to encourage us to remember that Jesus is a life giver. And God, as he said, of hope, fill you with all joy and peace. I pray that your living room is full of joy and peace and laughter and life this week. Jesus is a life giver. Don't allow the living room to be a lifeless room or a quarreling room. May that area in your house, may when your kids come into the area, like, guys, this is where we party. This is where we get to have fun. You know, like us, we have a television in our living room, and that's fantastic. And there's many times where the television is really helpful and the kids love a good movie. But I want to encourage us to monitor, especially right now, monitor how much TV intake the kids are having, young people having, iPads, Xboxes. Let's keep the life burning in the living room. And young people, young adults, will you stop mom and dad getting too old too quick? Will you keep us on our toes? Will you keep bringing the life to the home? Children, will you keep us busy? Will you keep creating fun and mischief for us to get involved in? Because we don't want to get old. I don't just want to be the guy who's sitting in the living room with slippers on the couch. Come on, let's bring life to the home. Jesus is a life giver. He's a life bringer. Mums, dads, come on, let that room be the most life-giving area of your house. When your kids walk in, they know it's where the party never ends. Proverbs 24:3, as we bring this to a close. By wisdom, a house is built. I pray that God has given us some wisdom today. And through understanding, I pray that we've understood a little bit more about our home. It is established. Through knowledge, it's rooms. You know, the rooms of our home, they're not just rooms. They all have a different reason for being there. They're filled with rare and beautiful treasures. This week, let's reveal the treasure in each one of those rooms, each one of those areas of our house. As we do, this is what will happen. Our home will grow in health. The kitchen, the place of transformation. I wonder what God wants to do in you this week. I wonder what he's begun. Don't stop halfway through the process. The dining room, the place of honesty. Maybe this week you need to have an honest conversation with yourself. How are you really doing? Not how you perceive to be doing, but behind the lens of Zoom. But how are you really doing? In the living room, the place of life. God's called us to bring life to the home. Next week, as I said, we're going to look at the bedroom. So get ready. Rest and intimacy next week. It's going to be fun. But I believe as we go through each room of the house, God is going to reveal the treasure of his heart. And here's what I've also understood, that healthy homes are happy homes. As we create health in our homes, guess what? They become happy. And I actually believe that these days we're living in, this crisis that we're faced, actually these can be some of the happiest days of our lives if we do this season well with God's help. So I wonder what area of your life you need God to get to work on this week. I wonder what room in your house you need to make some changes in. Holy Spirit, what are you saying to us as a church right now? Rather than God do something in me, God heal me, God provide for me, and he will, he'll do all those things because he's your Father. But why not God transform me? Transform me as a child, as a young person, as a mom, as a dad. Do something in my heart. Maybe there's a young person you're struggling with mom and dad. Maybe they don't come to church and this has been a really tough season for you. Maybe you're all living on top of each other. The Holy Spirit wants to come right now. Do some transformation in you. Maybe you need to open up and be honest with someone. And if you need to talk, if you need an honest conversation, we have a care team on hand. If you just write a little message on YouTube in the box or on Facebook, drop us a message. One of our team will reach back to you over the next few days. Maybe, like me, you struggle because of work and the demands of life, and you know, you forgot about the living room. God wants to ignite a fresh spark in that area. Bring back a sense of life. Maybe you've been knocked back. You've had challenges. God wants to help you. Maybe you're a single parent and life is really difficult. Your mom or dad right now, you're also teacher. You're also the provider in the home. You're also cook. So many things and you're struggling. You can't give life if you don't have life. So maybe in this moment, you need the Holy Spirit to come and breathe fresh life, fill you up. He will if you ask him. Can we pray? I don't know where you're at. If you can, why don't you close your eyes? I'm going to believe God right now. Father, we come to you. You are a good, good Father, and you love us. Father, we don't always get it right. We make mistakes. Mums, dads, children, young people, we're just trying to figure out this season. We need your help. So we pray, Holy Spirit, you'd come right now. Help us to make wise choices in this season. I pray, Lord, that you would begin with transformation, just as the kitchen is the first area of the house that people seem to go to. Lord, this is the first area, the first thing you want to do in our hearts is transformation. And Father, you want us to grow in your image as we've read. You said, he who has begun a good work will be faithful to complete it. Father, maybe there's an area of a person's life today that you've begun a good work. I pray that we would have the courage and the strength to allow you to complete it. We think about the dining room, place of honesty. The first place we need to be honest is with ourselves. Maybe we're struggling with a habit. Maybe we're struggling in a relationship. We're struggling with mom. We're struggling with a child. We're struggling just being open. Give us courage today to be open with ourselves and honest with ourselves. I pray for trust to be rebuilt. I pray right now for where trust has fallen over in a home that you would rebuild it, Father God, through honesty. Father, you are a life giver. You said, I have come that you might have life and live life to the full. And Father, I pray for those of us who've lost our lives. And Father, that was me a few weeks ago. I'd lost that spark through the busyness, the change, the challenges that life throws at us. But the living room is the place of life. So Father, I pray that the homes this week, even though that we're locked down for so many hours a day, Lord, that you'd give us creative ways, supernatural energy, fun, mischief, life, Lord, and the home would be a happy home, a place of joy, a place where the kids can't wait to come into, Father God. Lord, you want our homes, Father, to be healthy. Not perfect, just healthy. When they're healthy, they're happy. Lord, I pray that our homes will be a testimony to others of your goodness. Pray for marriages, relationships that are struggling. Holy Spirit, come right now. Do only what you can do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I hope that message helps someone today. And, you know, like I said, the Norman home is certainly not perfect. We're trying, and we're trying to look at these various rooms and go, actually, we can learn through these areas. You know, Jesus is a life giver, and he died so we could experience abundant and eternal life. It was John 3:16. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You know, a healthy home, it begins by inviting Jesus to become the Lord and the Savior of your life. It starts with relationship. And friend, God loves you so much. He loves you so much that he sent Jesus. He only had one child, and he sent his child to this earth to die for you. He died. He took the punishment of our sin, our shame, our guilt. He took it so that we could experience that life. And today, we want to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus. Doesn't matter where you're at, what's happened, what decisions you've made, Jesus loves you. Here's the good news. God doesn't hold your past against you, but he presents you a glorious future. So all we have to do is receive his love, receive his forgiveness. He'll give you a brand new start, friend. Would you accept Jesus as your Savior today? I've got a question. Where will you be 1 minute after you die? The answer is this: you choose. You choose to spend eternity with Christ or eternity without him. I know where I want to be. I want to be with Jesus. One day we're all going to leave this earth. But we can have that assurance in our hearts today, that we can spend eternity with Jesus. We can have purpose on this earth. And we can have hope for eternity. It begins by opening up our hearts to him and saying yes. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray a really simple but powerful prayer. And if you say, "John, I want that assurance," why don't you just repeat? I'm going to pray really slowly so you can repeat it after me. And at the end, I'm going to say amen. And that means, so be it. I believe. Let's pray together. Dear Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus. I thank you that he loves me. I thank you that he died for me. I thank you that 3 days later he rose again. Right now, I acknowledge my need for you. Come and live inside of my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Give me a fresh start from today forward. Amen. Amen. Hey, if you said that prayer for the first time, or you felt a connection in that moment, maybe you reconnected with God, we want you to take that next step and head to the website, because we want to stay connected with you. We want to help you. We want to resource you, help you take next steps forward. And also want to congratulate you, because today, this moment is a brand new day. You said goodbye to the past, and you've opened up your life, and you're heading in a new direction with Jesus by your side. So huge, huge well done to everyone who said that prayer. Fantastic. And maybe, as I've said, maybe that message today, maybe it hit some kind of raw areas of your life and you need help, please reach out to us. Please reach out. We will do everything we can to come back to you. and make sure that we're resourcing you, helping you. Maybe there's some books that we can recommend. Maybe we can call you and pray with you. Maybe we can pray over you as a couple in marriage. And we're looking at ways we can do, you know, marriage courses online and all sorts to help people in this season. But please, please don't do this on your own. Don't struggle alone. We love you. And if you're in any kind of danger in life at all, please let us know. Because as a church, we can help. We can help.
Thanks again for tuning in. And if you said the salvation prayer today, we'd love for you to email connecttofaith@soulchurch.com so we can talk to you a little bit more about this incredible decision that you've just made.
Yeah, you know, and if at any point in the service you felt moved to give towards any of our local or global initiatives, then head to soulchurch.com and click on the giving at the top of the page.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope to see you again soon. God bless.